Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined for this full hour, I'm very pleased to say, by a friend and colleague, Kevin Freeman. Kevin is, among other things, a former very influential figure in the Templeton Funds world. He went on to create his own organization, the Freeman Global Investment Council. He is a chartered financial analyst and the author of two superb books, Secret Weapon, How Economic Terrorism Brought Down the U.S. Stock Market and Why It Can Happen Again, the subject we've been discussing to this point, and Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. Kevin has also recently started a new organization called the National Security Investment Consultants Institute, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But Kevin, just to stay with this question of the reserve currency and more broadly, how the so-called BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are actively pursuing steps that seem to be designed to create conditions that would challenge the dollar as the reserve currency, but also perhaps the larger economic world order that the United States largely established after World War II.
Sure. And I think we should start with an understanding that when we say BRICS countries, people think, oh, those are tiny emerging markets. But according to the World Bank, on a purchasing power parity basis, the BRIC nations that you mentioned, plus South Africa, roughly rival in size Europe and the United States. And I don't think that's captured the consciousness. We're talking Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are roughly as big to the world economy as the U.S. and Europe together. And they've planned this, and they've been working towards it, and they've attempted it. Basically, the West owns all the financial systems of the world, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the Internet, and so forth. They've created alternatives in every one of those categories with the purposed intention of making an internationalized renminbi the global reserve currency.
So it would be the renminbi rather than special drawing rights or some gold-backed currency out of the Gulf, oil-exporting nations, in your estimation, or is it still unclear exactly which form this this alternative would take?
It's unclear, but their intention is to make the renminbi with the idea that that's the beginning of a negotiating position, and you end up with special drawing rights that get adjusted by the UN so that our currency just diminishes in value.
And ultimately is supplanted, as you said, with devastating effects on both our standard of living, our population, presumably our ability to project power, protect our interests, and so on. Kevin, this is an agenda that is being shared, as I understand it, by some of the sovereign wealth funds. You mentioned that they may have been behind out of the Middle East, particularly involved in the attack that was launched on us beginning on September 11th, 2008. What role are they playing more broadly? And in connection therewith, talk about, if you would, Youssef al-Qaradawi, one of the eminences governing, as I understand it, from a Sharia point of view at least, the investments of the Qatari Sovereign Wealth Fund.
Sure. Well, a couple of things. First, I want to mention something that you've covered off on. If there were an EMP attack, and I know you've discussed this and probably don't want to get into it too much in this, if there were an EMP attack on the United States...
That's, again, electromagnetic pulse attack. Yep.
Right. It would destroy our ability as a nation to be the reserve currency. So you would want to set up an alternative system if you were contemplating such an attack. So I'll just throw that out, that maybe some of the reason that these entities, the BRICS and sovereign wealth funds and so forth, are rushing headlong into creating an alternative currency is because they fear that there may be some cataclysmic event in the United States, and they need to be prepared for the blowback from it.
Well, and they may be, it's in the same moment, trying to engineer that cataclysmic event, as you say. Kevin, just a point of clarification. Are you saying that they are rushing headlong into it, meaning that this is an imminent thing? You said we weren't seeing it in the previous segment because it hasn't materialized just yet, but when do you think it might?
Well, there's two issues. One is whether you have the infrastructure to replace the dollar, and the second issue is whether the dollar itself is the strongest currency of the world. We are seeing them build the infrastructure rapidly. We have not seen the impact on the dollar's value in the globe yet. So I don't know if they'll pull the trigger, but I know that they're preparing for the day when it does happen.
And is it the case, specifically, I guess, convertibility of the renminbi has been one of the pacing items. When you talk about the infrastructure being built, is that something that is now well advanced as well? And it's just a question of getting it to the point where the dollar is weakened and the renminbi is strengthened. And is that something that is also part of this larger campaign, is reducing the value of the dollar?
Well, creating the internationalization of the renminbi, no doubt it's happened much faster than even the top sinologists in the world ever expected. I mean, you talk to them 2-3 years ago, they said, oh, it'd take 30-40 years. And now they're saying it's happening as we speak, may happen, you know, in the next 12 months, full capabilities. In terms of attack on the dollar, we're more vulnerable than we were 6 months, 9 months, a year ago, and we're especially more vulnerable if the shale industry in America is destroyed. We're more vulnerable because that's a serious prop to the dollar, that we could be the world's largest energy producer.
Another reason for trying to make sure that that doesn't happen as a result of the Saudis' economic warfare against us right now. Kevin, just to the sovereign wealth funds, to the extent that the Saudis, the Qataris, others are using the petro wealth that they've amassed from us largely because of our foolish energy policies of the past, to what extent are those real serious instruments of economic warfare being waged against us by the you know, Sharia adherent Islamists like Qaradawi, for example?
Well, you'll have to comment on how bad Qaradawi is, but I saw that there are Interpol arrest warrants for him and so forth that have been possibly issued. But
well, he is, just so we're clear, he is the leading ideologue for the Muslim Brotherhood and one of the most influential of the sort of Sharia adherent global jihadist movement in the world today. And that's what makes him a particularly worrying fellow to have running or at least largely influencing a very large and quite engaged sovereign wealth fund like the Qataris.
Well, and the problem with the Sharia-compliant finance is it's not written down in a set of rules. It is what the scholar says it is. And even the Sharia adherents have admitted that. They call it the Sharia black box. And Qaradawi was the decision-maker in 2008. He was the prime scholar overseeing a large portfolio that included a massive stake in Barclays Bank and in a number of the groups that were short-selling America. And he has publicly made statements that we have to use economic jihad. And all I can take from that, and I'm not a Sharia expert by any means, but all I can take from that is that they use the funds at their disposal to do battle with Western civilization, as you have long explained and talked about. This is just another weapon that they use. It just happens to be a particularly potent weapon.
Yeah. Sharia-compliant finance is, too, it seems to me, Kevin Freeman, particularly to the extent it creates a kind of parallel system, as you were talking about putting a parallel currency structure, infrastructure in place, a parallel system adjacent to our capitalist system that is a black box, that is subject to manipulation, and that is governed by people who are explicitly hostile to us.
And as one of its purposes is replacing, and the ISIS group has created their own gold-backed currency because they don't want to transact in dollars. They want to see the dollar collapse, and that goes back to something that was in the Al-Qaeda timeline given in 2005 to a Pakistani journalist. Their intention is to stop America in a currency standpoint. They mention electronic attacks against our infrastructure. They mention all sorts of economic warfare attacks, including taking over the oil fields of the, quote, moderate Arab countries.
Right. The quote, moderate, is the operative word, as we've just been discussing in connection particularly with Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and I would argue the UAE and others as well, and to say nothing of Iran. Kevin, we're going to have to pause for just one last break. We're talking with one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving economic warfare, Kevin Freeman, the founder and CEO of Freeman Global Investment Council, and also the founder of the new National Security Investment Consultants Institute. We'll visit with him about cyber threats, including those that you need to protect yourself from, the subject of his most recent and superb book, The Game Plan. That and more with Kevin Freeman right after this.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.